Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As the psalm says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. When those times of trouble come, when you're facing hard times, when you have challenges confronting you, things you have to deal with, knowing you don't have the strength to face it on your own, it sure is nice to have someone to help, someone who is knowledgeable, capable, someone you can count on, someone who is on your side and by your side. Well, that's exactly the kind of help Jesus promises in today's gospel. A very present help in times of trouble, the times of trouble ahead, the help of the Helper, otherwise known as the Holy Spirit. But wasn't Jesus himself the greatest helper that his disciples had ever known? Well, he was, certainly. In fact, Jesus came to do what no other helper could ever do. He came to earth to be righteous where everyone else had sinned. He came to earth to bear the sins of mankind, to pay for them on the cross and to give his life, to reconcile sinners to God, to redeem us from sin and death and the devil. The devil was strong, but Jesus was stronger. And within 3 days of speaking these words to his disciples in that upper room on Maundy Thursday, he would prove just how strong he was by rising from the dead and just what a powerful helper he could be. But soon after he would rise from the dead, Jesus would leave this earth, as he had just told his disciples on that very evening. And that prospect terrified them and filled them with sorrow. As Jesus says in our gospel, "Now I am going to the one who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Sorrow, first of all, because of their great confusion. They still didn't understand what Jesus was going to do in the next day or 2 days or 3 days, going to the cross and rising from the dead. They certainly didn't understand what he meant about ascending into heaven, ascending or going to the Father. And they certainly couldn't understand how they were going to make it in this world if he was going away. On top of that, Jesus had given these men the task of making disciples of the world, of catching or being fishers for men, of building his church. How on earth could they do that if Jesus, the greatest helper that they could possibly have, was going away? But he assured them, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It's one of those striking statements of Jesus, if you stop to think about it, that somehow it's better for Jesus' apostles, better for Christians of this entire New Testament period, better for the world during this entire New Testament period, for Jesus not to be here. Not to be here in the way that he was here during his earthly life. When Jesus is here again, when he comes again in person, in flesh and blood, to stand on the earth as he once stood on the earth, then mankind's time of grace will be over and the judgment will take place. That's what happens when Jesus is here again. But so much work had to be done and still has to be done between the time of Jesus' ascension until the time he comes again. And here in our gospel, he promised his apostles that although he would be gone in a sense, they wouldn't be left alone to face the world or to carry on his ministry of reconciliation. They would have a helper sent to them by the ascended Lord Christ himself. What the world needs during this time of the New Testament is the help of the Holy Spirit. The word for helper here in the original is a big word. It means someone who is called to your side to be on your side, to stand up for you, to advocate for you, to encourage you, to comfort you, to teach you, to guide you. All of that is included in this big word, helper. And the helper is identified by Jesus just a few verses later as the Spirit of Truth. We'll be talking more about the Holy Spirit in the coming weeks, especially leading up to the day of Pentecost, just a few weeks away. You know that people have all sorts of strange and wrong ideas about what the Holy Spirit is and how he does his work. It's important to listen to how Jesus describes the help that the Helper will give. He says, when he comes, he will convict the world regarding sin and regarding righteousness and regarding judgment. Regarding sin, because they do not believe in me. Regarding righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Regarding judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. See, the Holy Spirit isn't a feeling you get in your heart or a presence that moves through a room, as some people falsely think about him. According to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a preacher. A preacher who preaches through the preaching of men. Jesus says that one of the primary tasks of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world, that is, to rebuke the unbelieving world, to show that they are wrong about certain things. First, that the unbelieving world is wrong about sin in all sorts of ways. People either think they aren't sinners at all in God's sight, or that there is no God who judges sin, or that their sins aren't really so bad compared to other people. People commonly call things sins that aren't sins, and they promote things that are most certainly sins in God's sight, as we see happening day after day. And even if people recognize their sins, they turn in the wrong direction for help. But the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of those apostles, and then through the preaching that is in accord with the preaching of the apostles that the church has been carrying out through the centuries, shows the world that they're wrong. They are sinners. And the only way to have one's sins washed away is through faith in Jesus Christ. Second, the Holy Spirit shows unbelievers that they're wrong about righteousness. They have the wrong idea of what it is or how to come by it. People think they're righteous, and it's everybody else who's unrighteous. Listen to any abortion supporter or trans supporter or climate change advocate or illegal immigrant proponent, any socialist or communist and their allies in the media. If you listen to them, they are the righteous ones in the world, and anyone who disagrees with them, they're the unrighteous ones who need to be silenced. They think of themselves as the good people, while Christians are the evil ones who need to be silenced. Now, this isn't to say that there haven't been many Christians throughout history who have done evil things. Of course there are. But the message of Christianity, the message of Christ, is the farthest thing from evil. The one enthroned in heaven, according to Psalm 2, laughs at them, laughs at those who think that they are successfully shaking their fist at God. He laughs at them because there was only one truly righteous one to ever walk the earth, and it isn't you, and it isn't me, and it certainly isn't the unbelieving world. It was Jesus Christ. But he walks the world no longer because he died and rose again and ascended to the Father. He is the one who stands at the right hand of God and holds his sacrifice before the Father so that all who use him as their mediator, all who cling to him in faith, are counted righteous before God, while anyone who claims their own righteousness is condemned. Third, the Holy Spirit shows unbelievers that they're wrong about judgment. The world thinks that it gets to judge God, that the world gets to judge Jesus, whether he was right or wrong about certain things, or that they get to judge Christians. And yes, for a time, the powerful people of the world seem to be successful in all that. They prosper in their wicked schemes while Christians suffer. But all of that is temporary. The Holy Spirit shows that the ruler of this world, that is the devil, stands judged already, and all who are found to be on his side will share in his condemnation. And so in this way, the Holy Spirit rebukes or convicts the world. That doesn't mean all unbelievers will be convicted so that they feel and understand that, yes, God was right all along. I should believe in this Jesus. It doesn't mean that. It just means that the Holy Spirit will be the one working through the preaching of the apostles and the witness of the church as we preach repentance, as we preach condemnation for those who remain in unbelief, and as we preach the forgiveness of sins to all who believe and are baptized. It's always the Holy Spirit working and always working through the Word when it's preached, speaking to the hearts of men through the ears of men, both to unbelievers and to believers. As Jesus says later, after he ascended into heaven, through the prophet or the apostle John in the book of Revelation, "He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." But how could the apostles preach when they themselves were so confused about so many things? Well, that too would be remedied by the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his apostles, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." There's that word that the world recognizes less and less, truth. That there actually is truth, not my truth, not your truth or his or her truth, but the truth, which is what it is, whether you acknowledge it or not, that which agrees with reality, and there is a reality. There is only truth. Everything else that disagrees with it is falsehood. Truth is steady, firm, stable, and real. "Let God be true and every man a liar," says the Apostle Paul. The Spirit of truth helps God's people by guiding us into all truth. Now, notice Jesus doesn't promise that the Spirit of truth will convince the whole world of what's true. That will not happen. The world will go on following the devil who is called by Jesus the father of lies. But the people of God who have come to repent of our sins and to acknowledge Jesus as our Savior will be guided into truth by the Holy Spirit. While the farther people get away from God, the more they will lose their grasp on even the simplest truths. But Jesus says the Helper will guide you into all truth. That applies first and foremost and directly to the ones to whom he was speaking. As we talked about in Bible class today, when we read the scriptures, don't take every word when it says you as everybody in the world. He was speaking here in this context to his apostles in that upper room on Maundy Thursday. They were the first ones to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, to understand the truth of the gospel, and then to codify the truth revealed by God in the words of the New Testament scriptures, even as the same Spirit had worked through the prophets in the Old Testament to codify his truth, the truth, in the words of the Old Testament scriptures, so that the whole Bible has the firm and steadfast witness of God, so that his truth is written down forever, so that you don't have to believe what this person gets up to say or that person gets up to say. You can check it and compare it and search the scriptures for it and know it. Your word is truth, Jesus prayed to his Father in just the next chapter of John's Gospel. Now, the Roman church likes to put the church above the Bible, claiming that supposedly the church got together and sat in judgment over God's word and then told the rest of the Christians what was God's word and what wasn't God's word. But that's backwards. The apostles spoke and then wrote the truth revealed to them by the Spirit of truth. And then the same Spirit simply guided them to write it down and then guided Christians, even as he continues to guide us now, to recognize which writings genuinely came from those apostles and which ones didn't. He guided and still guides Christians to distinguish apostolic truth from falsehood and from fables concocted without the Spirit's guidance, always with one singular focus: to glorify Jesus. He will glorify me, Jesus says, for he will take of what is mine and proclaim it to you. We'll have more to say about the work of the Holy Spirit, but for today, let it be enough to know that you're not alone in times of trouble. In this time of tribulation, as you make your way through this life with your eyes focused on the life to come, you're not on your own to figure out the truth or to understand the gospel or even believe the gospel. The Holy Spirit will be sent to help, has been sent to help, to be by your side and on your side, to stand up for you, to advocate for you, to encourage you, to comfort you, to teach you, and to guide you, not apart from the Word of God, but through the Word of God, so that you can speak with the conviction of the psalmist, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.